schedule a personal tour on thegatesworth.com and see for yourself how the Gatesworth does senior living your way.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Biggie's Restaurant and Bar has been a staple of the community for over 27 years. At Biggie's, they pride themselves on service and great food. They make all of their dressings, marinades, and pasta sauces in-house. Biggie's is famous for their garlic cheese bread, steak sandwich, and their homemade white French dressing. Biggie's is family-friendly and also provides catering, whether it's for 5 or for 500. Located at 3332 Watson Road, check them out online at biggiesrestaurant.com.
Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry? Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items, like hot and ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues.
Are your credit card bills keeping you up at night? Interest rates in the double digits? Be smart and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. You can save thousands in interest. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 and there are no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Plus, LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you have complete peace of mind. Want to save even more? Our listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/McKernan. That's LightStream.com/McKernan. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/McKernan for more information.
At Country Rock Cabaret, we bring bucket list events to fans of a good time, and it's time to scratch off another one. While the Chicago Cubs are in town, Playmate and DJ Claudia Monet will be hitting the stage on May 31st and June 1st to perform her Billboard single, Little Voices, in a way only she can. Show begins after 9 p.m., but you'll want to get there early to save your seat and catch the games on any of our 27 screens. Country Rock Cabaret is the best of both worlds.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you.
It's Thursday, one of my favorite days. I've learned maybe more every Thursday for the last 3 years plus than I learned in my entire time in school my whole life. I didn't study. I didn't do my homework. I could almost pass the bar. Okay, not.
I don't know. Maybe.
No, I don't think so. It took John F. Kennedy Jr. 8 times to pass the bar. He was not a smart guy. He was not smart at all. And the proof is the way he died.
Pilot.
Yes. Ugh. I'm a pilot. I know what he flew in. He was not very smart. He's dead now, so certainly not smart. But no, I could not pass the bar. I'd be that guy that tried it 15 times and finally just have to give up and get a job as a Walmart greeter because I could pass the bar exam.
I think you'd get it because you become obsessed with getting the answers right.
Oh, that could be.
I think you would just dig into it.
Well,
you do fine.
That guy you hear talking, he did pass it. He is an attorney. He's Scott Sherman. Here's what's going to happen. This hour is going to fly by. There will be people who didn't get in because they didn't call right now or as soon as they heard another caller hang up. So here are the numbers. If you have a legal question for Scott Sherman, and he's helped a lot of people in the last, what's it been, 3 years?
It's going to be 4 years in August.
4 years, and from the beginning, this segment took off because thousands of you are dealing with some sort of legal issue, and you just don't know where to turn or where to begin. We're going to fix that. Here we go, 855-282-8255. I see where Steve is smart. He's already called. The other number, 314-821-0590. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please say hello to Attorney at Law, Scott Sherman.
Thank you, friend. Thank you very much.
Would you like to jump right in?
Absolutely.
All right. Steve is up first. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Steve.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
That, paying child support, and since my child was 2 years old, I've had a college fund set up for him jointly at first, and then I guess it was 8 years ago I got divorced. The other college fund was set up with her name as the custodian of it, and then immediately I started another one for him, so he's got money for college right now. Is there any way, when he goes to college, that I can quit paying child support? Because I have the two college funds.
I'm not even going to take a stab at this because I have no knowledge.
I'll take a stab at it.
Dan's going to take a run at it first.
I'll take a run at it. I would say no, because if your son is in college full-time and you will have to continue to pay child support. That's how it was with me.
Scott,
was it a support order as part of your divorce, Steve?
To do what?
To pay the child.
I had to start another one.
No, to pay for the college.
No.
So there's no support order in place.
There's no support order. I just set it up. My sister's an accountant, and she told us to set one up, which was a great idea. So we went ahead and did it. And then when I got divorced, it's in her name. She should still have it. I don't know if she still has it or she drained it out.
I might have phrased that wrong. When you got divorced, was there any order about visitation, custody, you got to do this weekend, that weekend, that kind of stuff?
It's all joint.
Okay. Well, the order is going to supersede everything. So if there is no order that orders you to pay for college, you don't have to pay for college. It's really more about what the court orders you to do. If there had been an order, they have changed it now, and I don't assume it, but was this a Missouri thing?
It was a Missouri thing,
okay.
Correct. He's asking about child support, if he has to continue,
child support.
Right.
continue paying child support.
The same thing. If there was no child support order, you didn't have to pay such and such amount per month. There's no order like that, right?
There is an order like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to pay child support. I am paying child support. And that's, even though he goes to college when he turns 18, since I have a college fund set up for him, two college funds, actually,
there's
a way to get out of paying child support.
Well, I can tell you that there is a way to do it, but it won't automatically do it until he either, if let's say he goes to school, and that would be great. They have dialed it back, so I think it goes to his 21st birthday if he's full-time on child support, or you can get it modified. And orders aren't self-modifying unless there's a law, and they passed a law to self-modify them so that if the kids don't go to college, it turns off at 18, and if they do go to college, instead of 22, it's dialed back to 21. So if you didn't want to pay child support, it would not automatically turn off. You could file a motion, say there's a change of circumstance. I have this, my son's college, all funded. I don't believe that there's a need for child support, and the court would probably modify that. But without him filing for a modification, unless mom agreed to it, it's not going to do it by itself until he turns 21.
Okay.
It sounds to me like Steve has no guarantee that she's using that money for that.
That's the biggest concern, and I think why the legislature, which does a lot of things horribly wrong, dialed this back. You were seeing a lot of kids that were turning 18 not going to college, and then you had the non-custodial parent going, hey, what about the child support until, you know, she's 22? And you had 4 more years of people paying money, which never went where it was supposed to go, which is to this now adult child. So they cut it off unless they continued full-time in school with good grades, and then they cut it back from 22 to 21. But to get it cut off at 18, you would have to, if they're in school, you would have to get that modified. You'd have to file a motion and say, look, I took care of college. This kid doesn't need anything other than that. and I don't want that money going other than where I want it to go. So I don't know how expensive that is. I don't do that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's not tens of thousands. It's, you know, thousands. But
this is what happened to me when my youngest son turned 18, and I called the child support and said, he's 18, he's out of school. And they said, does he plan on going to college? Because you'll have to continue paying child support if he takes so many hours. He has to be considered a full-time student in college. And I asked him, do you want to go to college? And he said, no, I don't.
I'm finished. And you said, woohoo!
I know, I'm finished with school. So child support said, we need him to write a letter and stating that he does not intend on going to college, have it notarized, and send it in. So I did. We did all that. And then child support says, okay, now we're sending a form to his mother to have her state that he doesn't plan on going to college. Well, I said, she's going to lie. I know exactly what's going to happen. And they said, well, if she lies, then she'll have 6 weeks to send this in. And if she doesn't send it in within 6 weeks, then we send her another one. And then she has another 6 weeks to send that in. I said, she's going to lie no matter what. So, of course.
So what is the deal? Sorry, Steve, but I'm curious about if a child is in college, how long do you have to pay till they're 21?
Okay, that's it. It used to be till 22. Now it's 21, so and they have to keep full hours, like 12 hours.
What's the thinking that if your kid's in school, you got to cough up money, but if it's not, you don't? What is that about?
I don't know.
The idea is that the non-custodial parent is the one that's going to be responsible to make sure that the kid has the funds. But all bets are off once these people turn 18, usually.
Steve, does that help at all?
Yeah, it does a little bit, but I have joint custody. I mean, it's 50-50.
But again, so you had a child support order. So, you know, all I want to do is take all the 5 or 8 or 10 pages of legalese out of it. The word order is really the operative word. It's like the general of the army said, you have to do this until we have to do something else. So if you want the order changed, you should get a lawyer and make a motion and get a new order. The judge probably would do it because you've been very responsible in taking care of your son's future, which when people get divorced at, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 years old kid, nobody knows that's going to happen. So I think the change of circumstances is very substantial. And not only that, your relationship with your son is great. You can still give him money. It just wouldn't be filtered through your ex-wife.
How old is he now?
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
He's 17.
Okay. And I don't think that order would be enforceable until he's enrolled in school. But this is the time to do it. If you could file a motion, it's going to cost her money to get a lawyer. What's she going to do? Fight about it? She might, but her chances of losing are a lot higher than had you not fully funded his college future. So good on you for that.
Do you guys get along at all?
I'm guessing no.
We just don't talk. We do because I don't talk to her.
Oh, good idea.
That's the best way to get along. Don't talk.
Yeah.
You got along with her now just like you did before you met her. You didn't talk to her.
Well, Steve, good luck with this, okay?
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. If you need anybody, I mean, I don't know if you have somebody, but I got people that do this relatively reasonably, and you can kick the tires on them. You don't have to pay these people to talk about this and make a business and family decision of what's best for your son. You will. You already have.
Very good.
All right, Steve. You have Scott's email address?
I'll try my divorce lawyer first, and then if I don't hear what I'm liking, I'll definitely get Scott's. I listen all the time, so I'll email him something.
Please do. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks. Have a good evening.
Yeah. I gotta say something. This is one thing that I am so glad I've never had to go through. Mm-hmm. I know more people who are divorced than aren't, and have had to pay child support and alimony, and for all the money that I've wasted and all the money I've blown and I've gambled and I've bought toys, at least, and I wouldn't have been able to do that if I had been divorced and had to pay child support for 3 kids. I'd be homeless, probably.
Oh, it's not alimony anymore. It's called maintenance.
Oh, sorry. Maintenance. Yeah. And because the other thing that I seem to notice is, generally, the husband gets screwed. Daddy gets screwed. More often then mommy gets screwed over, because still biologically they tend to favor mom. You know, they just do. So I'm glad I never had to do that. We have one line open, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Angie, you've been very patient. Thank you for that. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Angie.
Hi, I wasn't sure you said Angie. It kind of went fuzzy. I have a question. I'm Amy Nakia.
Thank you. That's not a question. That's a statement.
I know, but I almost forgot to say it. The other thing is I've called a couple times, and I appreciate your help. I have a dead tree in my backyard that is scheduled somewhat to come down, but it hasn't. The guy keeps saying, you know, I'm getting close to the top of the list. There's been a lot of rain. He's just having issues getting it scheduled, but it's supposed to be now. It's been about a month. And I get so nervous in all these storms that we're having. What's going to happen to me what happens if my tree falls on my neighbor's house or on my house and it is a known death tree?
That's Frank's favorite question.
Well, I know.
It's obviously on you. My concern here is that in a month this guy keeps saying he's going to get to it and he never got to it. You're getting a different tree guy.
But it's an expensive tree, and it's a friend doing me, you know, it's like still $2,500, but it's a huge tree.
Yeah, sometimes it may be great that a friend's doing it and saving you money, but it won't be so great if the tree falls and damages or hurts somebody next door. Then that friend thing wasn't such a good idea. Scott, you can have this one.
Yeah, the dead tree is on you. And it would be on your homeowners, but it would also be on your conscience. So pick up the phone, call a rival tree service, see how fast they can get out there. If they can get out there in 2 or 3 days, I would hire them. And then I would tell the friend, I don't know what to tell you.
You tell the friend to remain friends? You tell the friend that you spoke with your insurance company, and they said that tree has to go right now. And I would say, I prefer you do it, but I just want you to know that if you can't, here's why I have to go on and get somebody else to do it.
I mean, look at the weather we've had in the last week. Yeah. And if that thing falls over and lands on your neighbor or you, man, that tree isn't necessarily going to land on your neighbor. It could hit you.
Tell him you spoke to an attorney, because you did. You just spoke to an attorney. And the advice was get that tree down yesterday.
Especially since you know
that that tree is dead. You've already had it.
Have you ever used a chainsaw? Go buy yourself a chainsaw. They're fun.
Yeah, actually, my boyfriend used to climb trees, and 5 years ago he had to stop because his shoulders went out. Mm. And I wished my tree had died before, but it just died this year.
So. I bought a little chainsaw. Man, is that thing fun. I cut stuff down that's still alive just because it's fun.
It's fun to cut them down. Way up over the house.
No, I'm kidding. I get it. If it's $2,500 and that's a deal, that's a big tree.
And get it done. Tree. Get it done pronto. Get some estimates, because dead trees are your fault.
And a good attorney will say, you know, this woman knew this tree was dead. They'll get you up on the deposition. Did you know the tree was dead? How long did you know it was dead? Yeah, you're done.
Yeah. Why'd you wait?
And if he's in the tree business, then he knows, too. He knows.
Yeah, but he's not. He's a friend. He's not really.
He is in the tree business.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Well, how long is this list?
Hold on. Yeah, Angie, this guy's supposed to be your friend, and everybody else takes priority over you? It's like you're the bottom of the list.
It seems like that, but he keeps saying I'm getting close to the top.
It's like Springsteen tickets. How close to the top of the list are you?
He needs to make a decision. If those other trees aren't, it's not as critical that they come down right now as yours is, you got to get somebody else.
Okay. I will work on that. Thank you for your help.
You're getting treated like a favor, not a customer.
All right. Angie, thank you for calling.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And now holding the longest would be Steve, another Steve. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Attorney at Law Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Scott Sherman. AM in the PM.
Hey, Steve.
So I got two questions. One was kind of similar to hers. So I have a tree in my backyard that's obviously dead. However,
there's always a however in life.
Right. But the tree splits between both of our property. So it's being rented out right now.
The tree's been rented out? It's being rented out?
My neighbor's been renting it out. And so where does the fault lie? And because I talked to him about bringing it down, and he said, oh, my wife's a lawyer, and, like, she'll take care of all that stuff. Like, is there any way to get him to help me remove this tree? Because it's right on the split of our property. Like,
I don't understand what on the split mean. Where's the trunk of the tree? Where are the roots? Where's the base of the tree?
Right on our property line. So they're half in his, half in mine. And it's going to go down
someday. I'd say it's you. Because if 50% or more, you know, is on your property and it's dead, it's on you. If it's 49% on yours, if it falls, somebody's going to blame you anyway. So I'd get rid of it.
First of all, I can't imagine that a trunk, that exactly 50% of the trunk is on, that the trunk's right on the property line, where half the trunk.
I actually think it leans more towards his end, but I see it.
You can always do
self. Oh yeah, you take it down. Like it's more about the expenses. Like
yeah. You can always do more on self help if it's encroaching on your property, whether it's dead or not. The health of the tree doesn't matter. If it's encroaching, you can take care of what's encroaching on your property. If it's for safety, for, you know, you don't want to be liable for this what you claim to be a dead tree, I get rid of the thing.
Right.
And then you can always approach him and say, you know, look, I want contribution for this. And it's a great people's court thing. You know, if you filed, I don't know what county this is or what state this is, but let's say it's, you know, St. Charles County. That'd be a fun one for the judge.
Well, why would the neighbor chip in to have this cut down if it's not his tree?
Wouldn't have to. Well, if it's 50% on the neighbor's property, and let's say Steve spends 100% of the money, Steve could file for a motion for a petition, an action, to get half his cost back and make the neighbor pay for it. Before that happens, either they would or they wouldn't. I don't know how big this tree is or how much it would cost. There are 80-foot trees and there are 8-foot trees. So if this costs, let's say, $1,000, and you're in for $500,
yeah, this is a big old tree.
But I would never let a dead tree grow on my property that could fall and damage my neighbor, their people, somebody's dog. That's not something I would do, and I wouldn't advise people of it.
The thing is, he's trying to strong arm me. He's trying to say, like, oh, my wife's a lawyer, and.
Yeah, so then
no,
she can go. Then she can go and defend him when you sue them for the contribution. But if you had an arborist say that tree's dead, that tree's got to go. If that tree's not dead, then you can do self help on your side of the property line. But you know, it's dead or it's not. But that's not a lawyer's job to determine that. That's an arborist's job. You need an expert. If the arborist says that tree's dead, that tree goes because it's a hazard. If it's not dead, then you have self-help rights to your property line. And she can be all the lawyer she wants, but she has no jurisdiction over your property line.
Yeah, if you want to really get to him, say, yeah, by the way, I know your wife's a lawyer. Oh, and one other thing, she's really good in bed, too. Say that to
him. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'll do it.
I don't want to make that many waves.
Yeah, maybe not. All right, Steve. Thank you.
Second question, real quick. I've got bumblebees on a derelict house to my right. Been condemned, owned by the city. Do I talk to, like, the city council to get it torn down? Because it's actually impeding me working on my own yard.
The bees?
Yeah, bumblebees.
Have they cited you for any ordinance violations on the house that you have to fix it up?
No. So there is a house that's been condemned to my right.
Okay.
Which I'm hoping to buy the lot.
Oh, I see.
Hopefully.
So the bumblebees on the derelict house are impeding your ability to fix up your house.
Right.
I'd call the city and say, there's bumblebees and this derelict house, cite the derelict house, because you can't just go on to somebody else's property and remove those bees without some sort of permission. That'd be trespassing. So I'd call the city and say, hey, there's bees, it's derelict, cite them, make them abate this thing so I can work on my house and see what they say.
And it comes to a point where they don't actually have, like, a animal control around here. So they brought a bee guy out, and he said, no, these are bumblebees. I can't get rid of them. You got to do whatever. if there were anything else, he could remove them and move them to a different location. But
what the heck's the difference?
Yeah, over here in Elton, like, he can't do anything.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
All right. I don't tell you. None of this makes a lot of sense.
I'll spray gas on them and torch them.
Yeah.
And then that'll burn the house down, and then
or burn the whole house down. Then they'll really be great.
Which again, I would love.
Steve, apparently we don't know what to do with the bumblebee thing, but good luck. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Bye bye. There goes Steve. I didn't understand. I don't understand the tree thing. What trunk? I think what he means is the branches over half 50. The trunk has to be in one property on one property. Piece of property or the other. It's not right in the middle.
I have an in-ground pool, and I had a neighbor that had a tree that had the roots growing under our fence line. And I was worried it was going to grow into the fiberglass side of my pool.
Yeah.
And I talked to my insurance agent, who's responsible if my pool gets wrecked?
Yeah.
And he's no.
You are?
He said, I am, because it was on my property. I would have to file a homeowner's insurance claim, and I would have to pay my $1,000 deductible because this event occurred on my property. And so he and I agreed to share in the cost of tearing the tree down.
Good for him.
And I think that's the fair thing to do when people get in a dispute like that.
Steve should take the bees and take it over to his neighbor's house and throw it in his wife's car. And then she can, figure that out. And then that
put all the bumblebees in her lawyer.
Park his car in the driveway where the bees are and then bait them to fly into the car and then roll up the windows.
Put a lot of, what are they, like, flowers? Flowers? A good bunch of flowers put in the car. Mm-hmm. All right, let's jump to, I think next is Randy. Randy, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Randy.
Hey, I'm aiming the PM.
Thank you, Randy.
I don't know if there's nothing even be done about this, but it just bothers me. These websites, if you type in your own name on a general search, it's mylife.com. I know there's more. And it's like a reputation website.
Oh, my goodness. There's like 300 of them. Yeah.
Yeah. They always give you a bad reputation and make you look bad. And they want you to pay to get in there and to get your record straightened out and to, to make your reputation. What is it with these companies that do this? The only reason it bothers me is because I'm in an intense job search trying to find a job lately. And I just happened to come across this when I was doing job searches. I typed in my name and these things were coming up, and then I'm sure employers, if they do something like this, they don't really fall for this crap.
Well, let me ask you a question. Still, when you search your name, what kind of things do you see about yourself that aren't true?
Well, it doesn't tell you exactly. It puts these big old red alerts that says criminal or civil court records or bankruptcies found in this name.
First of all, I don't know what your last name is, but it could be what these things do, and Tim knows this. These let's find out all about the history of so and so. What they do is, let's say your name is Randy Johnson. Well, other Randy Johnsons, and they entice you, they hook you into getting you to pay to find out that that Randy Johnson, you're fine. But they show you all this possible criminal activity to get you to pay more, Tim.
And any reputable business that you're applying for a job for isn't going to use that site to do a background check on you. They're going to go do a check that's going to have credible, reliable information, not something that may or may not be true. I wouldn't worry
Randy,
about it.
And let's say this, Randy.
Unless you are a sex offender or an ex-convict, or if you're not any of the things you're worried about, don't even worry about it, because Tim's right. They don't go to those sites. Those are sites specifically set up for nosy people who want to find out about the guy down the street and see if I can dig up some dirt on him.
They're troll websites.
Yeah, employers don't use those.
And this, let's say you were on there, right, and it said civil or criminal thing, and you had a credit card case. You don't, but let's say you did. And it was like $1,000. And you got sued for $1,000, and they garnished. How are they going to clean that up? I mean, that thing happened. They can't change it. And all they've done is take something that's public and just broadcast it. So unless they're in the expungement business, which they're not in, there's nothing you can do about it. So you're actually just paying ransom to some group that can't fix the problem in the first place.
First of all, don't pay them to fix anything because there's nothing to fix. And don't worry about an employer ever seeing the crap they have because they're not going to use those sites. Seriously.
Well, I don't worry about it. It just bothers me that these things even exist.
I agree with
well,
that.
Well, let me tell you something, Randy. There are a lot of things that exist that shouldn't. And I told this story before. Somebody called to my attention that Wikipedia, that you could go on Wikipedia and look up the name Mark Christopher. He used to work at the station where I used to work. And on that, what looked to be legitimate Wikipedia page, it said, Mark Christopher no longer works at, and they named the other station, when it was discovered that he and Frank O'Pinion were having a homosexual affair. And that Frank's wife found out about it and is in the process of filing for divorce. None of it was true, and when I read it, I just burst out laughing. I'm not the least bit worried about it, and you shouldn't be worried about any of this.
No, I'm not. I mean, one of them, they had a lot of information about me that was true as far as, like, where I used to live and right. cars I owned.
Oh, yeah,
but that's if I put in the internet somewhere.
Oh, that's easy to get. Anybody can get that.
And one of my favorite things is CaseNet, and that can be abuse. There are people that go on and troll CaseNet and put people's names in. Don't worry about it.
They're more interested in your Facebook page if you have one than any of that.
Here's what they're interested in, Randy. Mm-hmm. Your name, your date of birth, and your social security number so they can steal your identity and your credit cards. Other than that, nobody mm-hmm. cares.
Yeah. And employers don't use them.
And for kicks, I type in John Wick. He's got a really good score reputation.
Congratulations.
For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. You should see.
Now, Randy,
Tony Stark. He's really, yeah. really.
Randy, cool. relax. None of this stuff matters. It just doesn't. It really. It's not going to hurt you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
You're fine.
Bye-bye.
Have a good
one. I'm telling you, employers are more interested in your Facebook page
That's
than
right.
any of this other stuff. They are obviously interested in criminal history. Did 10 years in the pen and you're a sex offender. Yeah, of course they're interested right. in that. But Facebook says a lot. A couple more before we have to talk to Bob Ibach. Are you trying to send me a signal for something, Limey?
No. Nope.
You go to Dan. Dan, thank you for waiting. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Dan.
We talked a few weeks ago. Remember I told you that handsome guy that works on your station, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, I heard you talking about the V thing
yes.
and all that. And then last week, Frank, you were talking about breaking people's legs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was a Teamster for 33 years. Are you guys those goons that they talked about?
Well, I was. I turned my life around.
I'm too young.
I changed my ways.
Okay, well, that's good. The thing I told Dan about was, and it's not necessarily affecting me, but I see it, and you guys have seen it a million times. Places, businesses that offer lifetime warranties. And I always said, let's say I call Frank's Roofing, and Frank says, I can put a new roof on your house for $3,000. And then I call Scott's Roofing, and he says, well, I could do it for $4,000. And I say, well, Frank said he could do it for $3,000. Yeah, but I offer a lifetime warranty. Now, fast forward 5 years when your roof's gone bad and you need to find the guy that gave you the lifetime warranty, and lo and behold, he's out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So you're pretty much screwed, I guess, right?
You are, unless the warranty is with the roof shingle manufacturer, and you have that on paper and paperwork from the... for example, there's a great product called Hardy Plank. It's a siding. It's basically a light concrete. That stuff has a lifetime warranty, and if the guy that put it on my house is dead, which he is dead, it won't matter, because if you have the paperwork originally when you purchased it from the contractor or whatever, it's good.
Yeah.
If it's with just the roofer, not so good.
Yeah, and those are the ones where if you're making a big purchase like that, roofing or a deck or some kind of construction, get that contract to a contract lawyer. To a construction lawyer and have them review it for, you know, a couple $100 to see what the terms and limitations of those warranties
and the big,
are.
Yeah, the big word there is limitations. Lifetime warranty sounds great until you start looking at the exclusions.
That's right.
And then you realize just about everything isn't covered.
We had a guy that I had talked to before a couple years ago, and he had bought some decking. He was going to make a deck, and they put the decking in, and it started to fade, the color. And it was a pretty prominent manufacturer and all that. But once he got a hold of his contract and that warranty had so many limitations in it about fading and all that, they had triangulated this great promise that apparently had been made at the retailer, and there was nothing he could do about it. And it's a shame that you have to use a lawyer to get a deck built. But if you're making a huge purchase, you know, 10, 15, 30 grand, you better have that contract before it's signed, reviewed. And it's a good way to spend a couple $100 and at least know where the landmines are. Because like you said, Dan, limited warranty, lifetime warranty, those are terms of art. It's all in the details, and yeah, people shouldn't be skilled in all that.
Dan, one of the things that drives me nuts, and I've heard car dealers do this, and they'll say 100,000-mile warranty. Well, that's a drivetrain warranty. When Landoff does it, he says every time, makes it clear, it's the drivetrain. But I have heard and seen ads for dealers where they go 100. Well, man, most people go, that's fantastic. No, it's just the drivetrain.
Yep.
All right, it's not the air conditioning.
Get the look at right. the look for the asterisk and get out a magnifying glass.
No,
because
kidding.
You're going to be looking at all kinds of mile years in limitations. You're going to be looking at different parts, different part problems. That's why these contracts are long. That's why they're on thin paper like onion paper, and that's why people get about 95% of defendants on contract cases lose because they didn't read the contract before they signed
this it. This is not a lifetime warranty story, but it's a really quickly a good story, Dan, about this very sort of the same thing. I'm a car guy, and I saw an ad for a Bentley, new Bentley, brand new Bentley that you could lease. And the lease was something like $850 a month. I got news for you. That's a tremendous thing. And yeah. then I read the fine print. They wanted $20,000 at signing, and it was the limit on mileage was 3,000 miles a year.
What the hell?
Yeah, yeah. Who only drives?
You're driving out of your driveway. You've already.
You can take it to the movies once a month and to the drugstore. And church, and that's it.
$20,000.
Holy mackerel.
But I'll tell you something real quick. We've talked about this before, and I just want to throw this in there if you don't mind.
Yeah.
On the 28th is the ALS walk.
Okay.
Frank, you and I have talked about this before. Okay. If anybody's hearing this and they want to participate, the Lou Gehrig's disease is the nastiest disease in the world.
I agree.
And I've had major problems and lots of my family members that have died from it. I have a sister that was diagnosed with it recently, so if anybody wants to come out and do the walk, make a donation, it would be awesome. We need to beat that thing bad.
I don't know that we ever will, but if you ever want to feel good about your life, go visit somebody who's in the late stages of ALS.
Oh, good gracious.
Man, oh, man. Dan, thank you for the call.
Where's the walk?
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate it. Where's the walk?
Oh, it's at Forest Park.
Yeah, kind of important.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. We have to wrap it up because we've talked to Bob Eibach about this hockey puck collection. Scott Sherman, give them your email address.
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
And Scott was here every Thursday. We've doing it, you said, what, almost 4 years?
Yeah, so August of 2015.
Make a little calendar note. If you didn't get in today, next Thursday, jump in there early, and he'll be happy to help you. Scott Sherman, everybody.
Frank, thank you.
Also, co-host of the yard sale, 2 days away, Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock. Scott and Dan Strauss both get up early and get themselves an Egg McMuffin on the way in and try to wake up, get a cup of coffee, and bring you a great yard sale from 7 to 9 o'clock, the original yard sale. On the phone with me, we talked to him yesterday, and he's back again today because he loved being on here so much, he begged to come back. And I said, this is Scott Sherman's hour. And he said, okay, how much will it take? And he wrote me a great big check, and I let him come back on. Bob Eibach, how are you today?
I'm doing good. You told me I had to go down and do this interview sitting on my knees. Is that correct?
I didn't say that. You're thinking about somebody else. You got the wrong. You got the wrong guy to tell the guy to get on his knees.
You told me I had to beg to come back on your show. Come on.
You're thinking about the place where I used to work. I think I wouldn't be here. So for those who missed it yesterday, Nyko Sports has come out with a commemorative set of pucks, five pucks. Describe for them what is on these pucks and how much they cost, and tell them how relatively few there are in the whole scheme of things when you consider there are hockey fans around the world.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. You know, it only took 49 years for them to get back to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I remember way, way, way back in 1970 when they played the Bruins. And ironically, that's who they're going to start off in the finals against on Monday. On the Memorial Day, but no, there's only 5,000 of these limited edition hockey puck sets that we're producing to raise monies for the Blues for Kids charity, which is the official charity of the St. Louis Blues. And in a moment, I'll go ahead and have everybody get your iPads out and your phones and everything else. I'll give you the information how you can go ahead and order these, because they are very limited. Like I said, only 5,000 will ever be made. They all come with a individually numbered certificate of authenticity. Each of the pucks has a very distinctive part to it, because it celebrates a different part of the season. And in looking back on their year, who would have thought on January 3rd they were the worst team in the National Hockey League, and then they go on to win 30 of their next 45 games in the regular season and beat the Jets, the Stars, and the Sharks in the playoffs so far. On one of the pucks, we will have some of that information about the season. It'll salute the Blues Western Conference Championship with all those great wins against the Jets and the Stars and the Sharks, and how they came back in those series to go ahead and stun the Stars and the Sharks. We also have a puck out there that kind of is a reflection on the franchise going back to the late 1960s when they began, and some of the historical information about the franchise is placed on that puck. And then we have three other pucks that salute three of the distinctive heroes of this season. Petrangelo, the great defenseman Alex Petrangelo. We've got Jaden Schwartz on there, and we've got Jordan Binnington. And Binnington, really, in my opinion, helped turn this season around, because he's a rookie goaltender, comes on in there in January, and the season just took off from there. Like I said, 30 of the last 45 games they won. So we get all that information. These are picture photograph pucks of those three individual players. You get the other two pucks that I just mentioned, all for just $99, and they'll be sent to you after the finals are over. So we're going to be updating some of the information on there against the Bruins in the Stanley Cup finals. And if the team goes on to win, and certainly we hope they get their first ever Stanley Cup championship, we will go ahead and put Stanley Cup champions on one of these pucks. So it's a great set. It helps out a lot of good kids in the St. Louis area, Blues for Kids charity. If you'd like to order these, they're just $99, only 5,000 made. There's two ways you can order these. We have a toll-free number, 1-800-345-2868. Or as you like to say, Frank, 1-800-345-BUNT. B-U-N-T.
Yeah.
And the other website is NICOSports.com. And I'll spell that because, as we all know, it's a little tricky. NICOSports.com. And again, the phone number, 1-800-345-BUNT, B-U-N-T. And I hope the team goes ahead and bunts a few of those hockey pucks right into the net beginning on Monday against the Bruins.
All right. I got an idea. I have a suggestion. And I'm the stupidest guy about sports you'll ever meet. And I just found out. I had heard it years ago but forgot. And I just found out the other day that before these pucks hit the ice, they're frozen. They keep them in the freezer. Why don't you ship these in a cooler? Ice cold pucks. Just like they would be if they're about to throw them in the ice. Okay, maybe that's not a good idea, but here is a good idea, and we didn't say this yesterday. This is one of those things for people who are procrastinators. If you get this now, you can hang on to it and then give it to the fanatic hockey person in your family for Christmas or for a birthday. Go ahead, put it aside, and break it out when they least expect it. Sometimes I don't think people think like that. They think, well, get it now, and then that's one gift for that one great Blues fan that you don't have to worry about when the time comes, the birthday, the holiday, or whatever. So,
Frank, I'll throw one other idea that, you know, Father's Day is coming up. Now, these won't be produced until after the final game of the Stanley Cup Finals. So they take 4 weeks afterwards. So you're probably maybe a week, week and a half after Father's Day. But we have a nice gift flyer that when you go to the website, you can download that and print it out.
And show you, hand it to them in an envelope and say, here's what's coming.
Here's what's coming in about another week. So you can use it as a Father's Day gift as well.
There you go. Or Mother's Day gift. A lot of women like hockey. And in fact, from what I hear, and I think it may be true, some of the hottest fans, female, are hockey fans. Female hockey fans.
Oh, yeah.
You're exactly right. I've covered all the major sports in my career, and I will definitely say that they're very passionate fans. Very, very many female fans that go to hockey games, and I will say probably the most loyal fans I have found in sports are hockey fans.
So you're being politically correct. You're skirting what I'm talking about. They're hot. They're good looking. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, the women, about, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see ugly women in hockey games because the tickets are too expensive.
Oh, that could be.
The ugly gal at the baseball game.
That could be part of it.
Just
too.
Kidding.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We have two people that we're talking to, and one is Scott Sherman, who grew up in Detroit. He's a Red Wings fan.
Yeah, Scott, say hi to Bob Ibach.
Hello, Bob. Scott's how are you?
Bob, hello, Scott.
Scott's
it's
an attorney.
A pleasure to
and
meet
Bob Ibach, who is in Chicago, he's a Cubs fan and a Blackhawks fan, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
Well, you've got half of that right. A Cubs fan.
Okay.
And also a Rays fan, because my son Kevin is the pro scouting director with the Tampa Bay Rays.
So Okay, so a Tampa Bay Rays fan, and then we have Scott Sherman, who's a Detroit Red Wings fan, and he's gone through many cups with the Red Wings.
That's a
What do you two think about this upcoming series with the Blues
and
the Bruins?
Scott, you can go first. Go ahead.
Bob, the Blackhawks have won, and the Red Wings have won, and I can tell you this, that for years living here, I've listened to St. Louis Blues fans talk a lot of smack about their team, but I can tell you this. This feels just like 1997, the first time in a very long time that the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup after a lot of difficulties and losing in finals. This just feels right. They're quiet. This team is confident. They play well together. And there's just this momentum building that it just feels like the St. Louis Blues have everything going the right way. The fans they're nervous, but they're not overconfident. And it just... it's hard to explain to people that haven't been through it, but Bob in Chicago, you guys have been through it. Doesn't this just kind of feel right for St. Louis this year?
And now with a counterpoint, Bob.
Well, I'll tell you what, it does feel right, and I'll tell you, I go back to the game against the Sharks. Remember the one that they had the little hand pass there?
And yes.
It was totally a ripoff. And teams like that, you could either go one way or the other. You can go south, feel bad for yourself, and I thought, okay, they're going to get bounced out of this thing the next two games. We're not going to see them again. They come back and turn this thing around and go on to win. And that's what good teams do. That's what good teams get momentum. And it reminds me of even 2016 when after 108 years, it took a rain delay in extra innings to go ahead and get the Chicago Cubs to finally win a World Series. And I'm having that same feeling. I'm calling the Blues the team of destiny.
Ooh!
I think that's right. And it was 42 years in Detroit until 97. They had made it to the final in 95 and got swept. They had almost made it back in 96 and lost. And that year, 97, just felt different. And in St. Louis, it just feels different the last three or four weeks. And ever since the Dallas series, it just feels like this team has everything.
Bob, if it's not too late, you ought to get that team of destiny a trademark,
yeah.
And inscribed on each puck, Team of Destiny, and Nyko should pay you a fortune for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Hey, I'm gonna say one other thing on the predictions here. The key game here, I really hold it. When teams have been off for a while, now the Bruins clinched early. Okay, they swept the Hurricanes. They've been sitting on their backside for a while, resting. It's game one. Because that's when the momentum is still there with the Blues. They've been playing more regularly. They played more recently. And that's the one you want to go in there and you get the first game. You want to at least split the first two games up in Boston, come back and then protect your home ice. And I think they'll do that.
Listen to this.
Which is exactly what the Blues did in the Sharks series. They lost game one. They got run out of the building. And game two, they played extremely well. They won that game, got home ice. The hand pass, and they haven't lost since. So.
All right, we're out of time. One more time, the phone number for the puck set of five for $99, 1-800-345-2868. And I know it's not baseball, but if you're like me, it's easier to remember 1-800-345-BUNT, Nyko Sports. Bob, always a pleasure, and well, I'm sure we'll talk again.
Absolutely. You guys have a wonderful day, and if we don't talk before the holiday, enjoy it as well.
All right, you too, Bob. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, Bob Ibach. Ibach, Ibach, tomato, tomato. I think it's the Ibach, B-A-C-H. But either way, he'll accept either one.
Good dude.
Thank you, Scott, for another great hour. Playhouse is on the way after the news and right after Bill Cleveland, and that followed by Mike Evans. Wow, why would anybody go anywhere except stay right in your car in front of your radio. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com. The home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. President Trump is responding to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's suggestion that he needs an intervention from his family or members of his administration.
Crazy Nancy. I tell you what, I've been watching her, and I have been watching her for a long period of time. She's not the same person.
Speaking at the White House today, Trump called it a nasty statement. He called Pelosi a mess and also accused her of not being able to comprehend the new North American trade deal. Congress must sign off on the trade pact with Mexico and Canada. The president also spoke about the release of the so-called American Taliban from prison. Trump described himself as not even a little bit pleased about it. Federal prison officials have released John Walker Lynn.